Welcome and God bless. Thank you for joining us on our Victory Outreach Church of Tacoma podcast. On behalf of Pastor Eric and Sister Jessica, we want to thank you for tuning in. For more information on the church and upcoming events, please visit us at votacoma.com.
Verse number 24, we're going to read a few scriptures. We're going to dive right into the Word of God. How many are ready for God's Word? Say amen when you have it. Verse number 24. It says, once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boat. They realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there. They got into the boats and went to Capernaum in search of Jesus. Some translations said they went seeking Jesus. Verse number 25 says, when they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, Rabbi, when did you get here? Jesus answered, I tell you the truth. You are looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Verse 27, do not work for food, the spoils, but the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him, God the Father has placed the seal of approval. Then they asked him, what must we do to do the works God requires? Jesus answered, the work of God is this, believe in the one whom he has sent. The work of God is this, to believe in the one that he has sent. Let's pray one more time. Father, thank you so much for your word. I ask that you would minister through my life. I pray that you would provoke our faith to go to the next level and that you would allow us, God, to not just understand that you can, but that you are and that you can do anything. So, Father, would you please deal with us this morning. Work with us. Inspire us, God, to see who you are. We pray for your word. Use my life, Father. I absolutely need you. In Jesus' name, we all say amen. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for Jesus this morning. You may be seated. Give it up for the worship team. How many enjoyed the worship this morning? Amen. Amen. Well, this morning, as we dive into the Word of God, I want to welcome you for being here. And then also, I just wanted to throw this out there that if you're here this morning and you desire to get involved, listen, come talk to us. Come see myself, Pastor Art, Brother Kenny, or my wife. There is a place for you in the house of God. Amen. How many know that we are called to be God's family and we're called to be light? So I want to challenge you to get involved and pray. Pray. If you come on Sunday or on Wednesday, there is a place where you could be a blessing to someone else. Amen. So this morning as we get into the Word, I want to talk to you for a few moments on the topic of faith. Someone say faith. How many know that everything that we do and everything that we believe as Christians hinges on our faith and our belief in who we know that he is? You know, the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews that without faith, it is impossible to please God. So faith is foundational to our walk with God. And let me just say this, our understanding of how faith works will often determine how we live our life every day. Faith is not only foundational to our walk with God, but our understanding of how faith actually works will often determine how we live our everyday lives. So this morning, we're going to spend a few moments talking about faith, and we're going to look at a dialogue within the scriptures that we just opened up with in John chapter 6. There's a dialogue here that Jesus is having with the group of people. We're going to dive right in. Is that all right? Now, when you look at this scripture we opened up with, Jesus is having a dialogue with a group of people who were seeking him. The Bible tells us in John 6, 24, that when the people saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they got in the boat and they went to Capernaum seeking Jesus. Now, it wasn't uncommon for people to seek and follow after Jesus, especially during this time. Because if you do a study on his life and you look at everything that happened up till John chapter 6, you would find that Jesus began his ministry and he was going from town to town. He was preaching the good news and he was also healing the sick and giving hope to the poor. So it wasn't uncommon for crowds to follow Jesus during this time. Now the people that got into their boats that were searching for him, what you have to understand is the reason they were searching for Jesus was because if you read in a few verses prior, the Bible tells us that Jesus was traveling and he looked at the big crowds that were following him. In John 6, 5 and 6 says this, he looked up and saw a great crowd coming towards him and he said to Philip, where shall we buy bread for these people to eat? He asked this only to test him, for he already knew and had in mind what he would do. Now, many of you know the story. What ends up happening is Jesus feeds 5,000 people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. How many have heard the story? Now, this is important information to understand before we dive into our text, because what you have to understand is that these people were seeking Jesus not because they believed in him, but they were following Jesus because what he could do for them. Are you hearing me this morning? We know this because when Jesus is speaking with them, in verse 26, listen to what Jesus says. He says, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. And he goes on to tell them, do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life. Now, I've been in some seasons with my walk with God where I'm coming to church because I need him to do something for me. Who's ever been there before? Right? And sometimes when we lose our priorities or we lose our focus or when life starts spiraling out of control, sometimes we can approach God because we need him to do something for us rather than seeking him because of who he is. Are you hearing me this morning? These people weren't seeking Jesus because they identified him to be the Messiah. They weren't even following Jesus because they identified that he had performed a miracle. They were following Jesus because they were looking for the blessing he had provided to them a few days prior. They were seeking his hand, not his face. Now, I have found that sometimes if we're not careful and our priorities aren't in order, and let's say we don't read our Bible that often, and let's say from time to time we don't pray as often as we should, one of the traps we can fall into the trap of seeking his hand and not his face. But what we need to do as believers, how many know we need to create and cultivate the habit of seeking God's face? Because people who seek his face are people who go after God in the good times and in the bad times. Are you hearing me? People who cultivate a habit of seeking his face, they live in fulfillment. People who seek his face are people who find their tranquility in God's peace. Are you hearing me this morning? Now, these people who were following Jesus were not seeking God's face. They were seeking a blessing. Now, Jesus knew their motive and realized the desperation of his people. And what you have to understand is these people that were following him, they were people, it was a group of people that they were poor. So they were wanting to make sure that whatever God had provided, that there would be a continual supply for food. And this is where Jesus addresses their priority and their spiritual life. Because when he told them, do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures for everlasting life, what he was trying to do was he was addressing their priorities. And here Jesus was trying to teach the people, instead of putting all their energy in securing earthly food, they should be focused on eternal life. Are you hearing me this morning? They didn't quite understand what he was trying to teach them. Follow me, I'm going somewhere this morning. Not quite understanding what he was saying, they asked Jesus a question, and this is where we're going to really dive in. They said, what shall we do that we may do the works of God? And Jesus answered to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in the one whom he has sent. He here Jesus begins to lay a foundation, and he begins to teach them the essence of what true faith really is. Now, this response challenged the people's mindset, because in that day, the people were taught that your works equated your holiness and how close you were to God. But what Jesus was doing, he was introducing to them salvation through faith. In other words, what he was doing was he was trying to teach them that your works are not going to get you into heaven. That what you do doesn't quite make you holy. What he wanted to teach these people was a new principle, that salvation comes through our faith, through our understanding of who he is and what he's able to do. See, true faith is a trust and a persuaded belief in who he is. Now, this word belief comes from a word called pisteo. And in the Greek, what this word means is to be persuaded, to place confidence in. It's a trust that comes from an inner conviction which declares that he is all things. And I think this is important because sometimes we can make following God complicated. You got to read your Bible for 10 hours. You got to pray for X amount of hours. You got to behave a certain way, and every Christian should be cookie cutter, and that's not what Christians do. And sometimes we complicate the gospel, when doing the work of God is simply believing that he is. It's knowing that he is the Son of God, that he is the great I am, that he is the good shepherd, that he is my healer, that he is able to do far greater anything I could ever imagine. But sometimes in church, we can create this religious culture where we make serving God look a certain way, when the truth is to do the work of God is simply to believe. I'm not talking about believing that he can do something. I'm talking about being persuaded and knowing that he did come from heaven to earth, that he died on the cross for the forgiveness of my sins, and that he was able to set me free from the past that I came from. Are you hearing me this morning? See, one thing we have to understand about salvation is this. Salvation is a gift from God. We're not justified by our works. We are justified by our faith. Are you hearing me this morning? Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. Let me give you some scriptures. It says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not as results of works, so that no one may boast." So understanding that salvation is a gift from God. All I have to do to receive this precious gift is understand that he is. I have to believe that he is the Son of God, that he died on the cross, he rose from the dead and resurrected into heaven, and that one day he will come back for me and my family. Are you hearing me this morning? See, that's a good place to clap this morning, because Jesus coming from heaven to earth not only brought peace into the world's atmosphere, but it also opened a gateway for me to one day walk in heaven. I think that some of us got to stop looking at our issues here at earth. We need to close our eyes, turn off the phone, unplug. I don't care. Go into nature. Sit amongst the trees. And I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to picture heaven. The other day, I started thinking, man, what is heaven going to be like? I was like, oh, I could picture. Come on, somebody. I don't know how old you are, but this is going to tell my age. I don't know if you remember that old cartoon called Mr. Magoo. Huh? I'm going to be like Mr. Magoo. He would walk. Right? When I get to heaven, I'm going to see my grandma. When I get to heaven, I'm going to see my pastor. When I get to heaven, I'm going to see my wife's mother. When I get to heaven, I'm going to see the men and women that sowed into my life that are no longer here. When I get to heaven, there will be no more pain. There will be no more suffering. When I get to heaven, every ailment, every broken bone in my body will be healed. When I get to heaven, I ain't gonna have a complex. You know why? Because it's gonna be the updated 2.0 Eric TG boy. See, right now I'm Eric 1.0 and I got some defects. Come on, somebody. Oh, Brother Kenny, you got some defects. We can't. But when you get to heaven, come on, somebody. Has anybody ever had to battle some ailments? Look, I'm getting older. I'm falling apart. Come on, somebody. My wife always tells me, you got to stop thinking you're 15. Stop playing all them sports. You're going to break something. I said, no, I'm not. Guess what happened? Done broke my Achilles, tore my ACL, tore my meniscus. But how many know when you're hard-headed, you keep doing it? See, I'm limited right here on earth, but when I get to heaven, somebody, when I get to heaven. See, heaven is not a place. See, we need to teach about heaven, because some people think that when we get to heaven, we're just going to go and we're going to be spirits flying around. No, the Bible says we're going to plant vineyards and eat from them. You're going to have a physical body. There is going to be a new heaven and a new earth, and they're going to be joined. And guess what? We're going to walk on true streets of gold. When I get to heaven, listen, I'm going to have a mansion. Well, Pastor, you shouldn't want that. I everything I couldn't have here, God, could you please give it to me in heaven? I think we're going to know each other. I think if I go before some of you, I won't be waiting for you at the door. When my kids get to heaven, I won't be like, son, we made it. Are you hearing me this morning? Salvation is a gift from God. Nothing you can do can gain you access to heaven. All you have to do is, say it with me, believe. Romans 3:28 says, for we maintain that a person is justified by faith apart from works of the law. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Sometimes the biggest battle is believing. Right? Somebody work with me. Right? How many times does doubt come and bombard your mind? Doubt tries to creep in my house all the time. Doubt tries to creep in. But I've learned that I got to speak to my doubts. I got to speak to the lies. I got to speak to the complexes. When the devil shows up and he says, you're not good enough, I say, yes, I am. You know why? Because I was fearfully and I was wonderfully made. That I know I got defects, devil. It's all right. I don't got to be perfect, because God chose the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. I may have been foolish, and because I believe, I am justified through my faith. And what I can't do, he can do. See, I'm trying to stir some of you up this morning, because God has a calling on your life. There is something he's calling you to do. And I would dare to say that some of you, you're like, not me. God says, yes, you. There's something specific about you that God created and designed for you to be a blessing to this world. Are you hearing me this morning? We got to be people, though. We got to have our priorities in order. We got to know without a shadow of a doubt, yes, you are the Son of God. Yes, you did die on the cross. And although I don't feel forgiven, I've confessed my sins and I've repented, and therefore my sins have been thrown in the sea of forgetfulness. I don't know about you, but I used to beat myself up. See, I didn't grow up in church. And I would imagine the first 4 years of my life was a horrible Christianity. I would try to walk with God, but I would keep falling. I would keep falling. But I thank God that there was a church that didn't judge me. You had one or two. Come on, somebody. You know the naysayers. What do we call them today? Haters. You're going to have a hater here or two in the church. The goal is that we slap them with the Bible. Come on, somebody. No. See, you guys are, everyone got excited. Why are you getting excited about? I'm talking about heaven and God, and I'm going to walk the streets of gold. And some of you were like, but I said, well, slap them with the Bible. Pastor, all right, we got to teach on anger management. Oh, man. Let me get through this. So here you have these people. They thought that their works would get them into heaven. This is why they asked, what works shall we do? They thought the only way to heaven was through works. But when Jesus told them all they had to do was believe on the one who he had sent, he was laying the foundation of what it meant to have true faith. Because true faith is a persuasion that comes from an inner conviction that shouts and declares that he is. True faith is a declaration that, God, I know you own all things. God, you are the creator of all things. God, you are the author and the perfecter of my faith. And although I may have messed up a few chapters within the book, that how many have ever messed up before? This is the good thing about that. Listen to me. Don't take this as a license to keep messing up. But if you've ever messed up in your past, if you come to the altar of God, and the altar isn't just a place in the church, you can create an altar at your house. There have been times where I couldn't wait for church to repent. I had to repent on Monday. I had to repent on Tuesday. I had to repent on Saturday. When you find a place where you can say, God, will you forgive my life for my sins? God is able to heal. God is able to declare that he is the author and the perfecter of your faith. And you may have messed up a chapter, but guess what? Our God specializes in tearing a chapter out and putting a new one in. He can build upon your story. Come on, somebody. Jesus was trying to teach the people that in order to do the work of God, all they had to do was believe in the one. Who was the one? It was Jesus. See, their natural minds could not comprehend what he was trying to teach them. Still confused. Watch this. They went to Jesus and asked him another question. They said, okay, we get it. Okay, so all we have to do is believe in the one. So that they had a second question. Watch their question. So what sign will you perform then, that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do? That's heavy. In other words, I'm right here, but they didn't. Him being there wasn't enough. They wanted a sign. In other words, what they were saying was, Jesus, give us a sign and prove to us that you are the Messiah and that you're greater than Moses. I read that and I thought to myself, that's a lot like the generation that we live in today. Because after all, isn't seeing believing? God, show me that you're with me, and then I'll do it. God, if you give me the job, then I'll become a tither. God, if you bless me with a new car, I'll finally start cleaning my car. Come on, somebody. If you don't clean your car now, you ain't gonna clean it if it's new. Come on, somebody. God, when finally you allow me to preach the gospel, I'm going to start studying. Come on, somebody. In other words, we're living in a day and age where people want to see, but this is what you have to understand. It doesn't work like that, because God's not a genie in a bottle. We don't just show up and say, God, can you do this, and then I'll do this. No, faith is a declaration. God, you're calling me to do what now? You sure you want me to do that? You're at the grocery store. God says, drop your groceries. Go to that man, and I want you to pray for him and tell him that I've called him. You're like, what, God? I'm going to look like a fool. But God is speaking. When you believe that he is and you have a relationship with God, you're willing to do whatever it is that he's asking you to do, and you don't need proof. Are you hearing me? See, it doesn't work like that. God's not a genie in a bottle. God will show himself strong, the Bible tells us, to those whose hearts are loyal to him. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him." That is a heavy scripture. The Bible says that the eyes of the Lord, in other words, I could picture God looking like this. What? In other words, to and fro throughout the whole world. Watch this. To show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are loyal to him. You know what loyalty means? Is I believe in the good and I believe in the bad. Loyalty means, God, I made a commitment to you. I surrendered my life to you. And I'm going to walk this walk even if it hurts me, even if it doesn't feel good. And I believe God is looking. I believe God is looking. And you ever see a man of God or a woman of God, they're walking in power? Have you ever seen somebody and you're like, man, there's something about them. The only difference between a man or woman who walks in power is their loyalty to who God is. And the power that you're seeing is God showing himself strong on behalf of that person. People that walk in godly power are not special people that have special powers. They're simply people that have been persuaded. I know my God exists. You couldn't tell me otherwise. Listen to me. I didn't grow up in church. I know you hear me say that all the time, but you don't understand, man. My family was falling apart. My family was in shambles. I remember contemplating, should I end it? And I remember being in depression and oppression and being at my worst. And I'll never forget walking into a church like this. And I remember they were praising and worshiping. And I don't know what happened. But I thank God for dedicated worship leaders. I thank God for dedicated musicians. I thank God for the prayer team that would come before service. And they would set an atmosphere. Because I walked in high to church. I walked in all messed up. And you know what happened? I had gotten high the night before. But I remember walking in and something hit me. I had been high for 17 days straight. I was never a drug addict. But I had gone through something pretty traumatic. My family was falling apart. My parents were talking about divorce. And I remember going to New York, and I was going to move there for 17 days. I drank. I got high. I came back on a Saturday. My equilibrium was off. Come on, somebody. But I had a dad who said, "You're coming to church." Not feeling in my right mind, I walked into the church. And I say, I thank God for the worship leaders. Because I walked in and I don't remember much. I just remember the pastor preaching with passion. And he started saying that there is a new life. That all you got to do is believe. And I remember sitting in my seat and I was squirming. My heart started pumping out of my chest. And I remember that day, I don't remember much, but the pastor said this. He said, "If that's you, you want to change your life and the freedom you hear me talking about, I want to ask you to come to these altars." I remember people went to the altar. He said, "I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want to pray for you." That's where I get it from. "I'm not going to embarrass you. I want to pray for you." But I'll never forget, he waited, and it was like 2 minutes of dead silence. He said, "I'm going to wait a little while longer." And he said, 20 years ago, somebody waited for me. I remember sitting in the third to the back row, and I don't remember what happened. I remember I somehow walked to the front. And I remember I lifted my hands. You got to remember, I didn't grow up in church. But my soul was crying out for truth. The presence of God was so thick, I lifted my hands. Two men of God laid their hands on me. And I don't remember much, but I remember falling to my knees. I remember God healing me. I remember the depression leaving my life. So when people are telling me things like God is not real, if you ever see me on the streets, you'll know I'm not afraid to tell somebody about Jesus. See, you couldn't tell me God isn't real. Because if God isn't real, how is my family put back together? How is depression never had victory over my life? They said, "Give us a sign The problem, and this is where I end. The problem wasn't that they didn't believe God could do it. That wasn't the problem. Because they believed that God could do it. They believed that he could. They just didn't believe that he was. And I think that's a problem. What you have to understand, this is where I close. There is a difference between believing he can versus knowing that he is. Many people believe that he can. They come to church like, God, I know you can do it. But here's the problem. If your belief in him is attached to what he could do, then what happens once that blessing is gone? See, I don't need a one-time event. I don't need a one-time blessing. What I want is the well. I want the living water. I don't believe, something happened in my life when I stopped believing that he could and I started to believe that he was. When I started to believe, you are the good shepherd. You are the great I am. You are the healer. You are the creator. You are my savior. You are my Lord. You are the bondage breaker. Something took place, and no longer was God a story. No longer was God a blessing. No longer was God just a person that could perform a miracle. He was the miracle in my life. Are you hearing me this morning? When we move away from believing that he can and we start believing that he is, something powerful will happen within your life. Your faith will no longer be attached to your emotions. And what you do for God will not be attached to your fears. Because when we believe that he is, we're more willing to step out. We're more willing to trust. And we come to a place of surrender. Are you hearing me this morning? When we are persuaded that he is, there is an inner confidence that's developed. And people who walk in God's power are simply people that believe that he is, and they live a lifestyle that's surrendered to God. The power of God in people, the power of God in people's life is directly tied to their belief that he is. When we believe that he is, we believe he is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask. I end with this. Ephesians 3:20 says this. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that is working within us. I believe God wants to raise up a church of power. I believe God wants to have power seen through your life. I believe that if we change our focus and we start walking and believing that he is, you'll go to your job, and when you see somebody sick, you'll have enough faith and power to say, can I pray for you? The God that I serve is able to heal. This morning, as we all stand,